The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Rise and shine, everybody, with a little thought for you for the day. If the secular world could write its own beatitudes, I think they'd sound something like this. "How blessed are those who are rich, for they will have more of everything. Blessed, too, are the powerful, for they shall always get their way. How blessed are the comfortable, for they shall never suffer inconvenience. How blessed are those who are honored, for all shall know how great they are." If the secular world could write out its own beatitudes, I think they'd sound something like that. Because, you know, it's a really important question. What does it mean to be blessed? What does it mean to live rightly? It's not a question a lot of people are asking themselves out there, let's be honest, okay? But a very, very important question to ask. And the answer that you get upon asking that question depends on who you're talking to. And more than anything else, it depends on who you trust. The secular world will tell you one thing, and Jesus Christ will tell you something very, very different. And he does, right here, very beginning, the most important sermon that he ever gave, the Sermon on the Mount. It all leads off with this little gospel right here, which we call the Beatitudes. Now, the Beatitudes are very hard to teach. There's two reasons why the Beatitudes are so hard to teach. The first is the subject matter, which is blessedness. Now, and blessedness is very hard to define. Very hard to define blessedness. It's not the same thing as happiness. Blessedness is much, much deeper than happiness, because happiness is a temporary condition. You ever stop to realize that? Happiness lasts as long as the source of your happiness is there. Take away the source, you lose the happiness. They say, if you want to be happy for an hour, take a nap. You want to be happy for a day? Go shopping. Go play a round of golf. You want to be happy for a week? Go on vacation, right? But happiness is happiness is like a bag of potato chips. Get to the bottom of the bag and you're all out of chips. Lose your source of happiness and you're all out of happiness. It's like that, but you know, blessedness is different. It's an abiding condition. Blessedness doesn't depend on your circumstances, and because of that, you can't lose it when your circumstances change. You know, like your finances change, your health turns for the worse, or maybe somebody doesn't like you anymore. Blessedness abides. Very hard to define that. It's the first reason why the Beatitudes are so hard to teach. Here's the second reason. It's because there's so much said here. So much said. I mean, just saying you're going to teach the Beatitudes, it's like saying you're going to go out there and take in all the Swiss Alps. It's like saying you're going to go down to the Smithsonian Museums and see all of them. So much here. You know, what I wish they'd do, the guys who write this little lectionary of our readings each week, I wish they'd have 8 straight weeks, and each week they just have 1 beatitude. Because I think it's about as much as you can take in. So you know what I'm going to do with you here this morning? I'm going to tell you about just 1 beatitude. Just 1. And the next time this comes up, we'll take up another. Because it's honestly, I think it's all I have time for. And the beatitude we're going to take a look at this week, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Why are we going to look at that one? Because I think that one is the most mysterious, least understood, and the least talked about. Right? So as long as we're going to tackle a beatitude, let's start with the toughest one. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. If you want to understand that, begin by taking your idea of meek, throwing it right out the window. Okay? Because what Jesus means by meek, and what we understand by meek, not the same thing. Meek is not a quality we admire, right? If somebody called you meek, you'd probably take it as a light insult, wouldn't you? Meek, when we hear meek, we think somebody's a sap or a wimp or a doormat. In fact, it reminds me of this little cartoon I saw, a little single-frame cartoon. Try to imagine this. It's a bunch of mousy little men standing around in a circle at a little club meeting. Mousy little men, they all got their hats in their hands. And they're standing underneath this great big banner for their club. And their club is called the Doormats, the Dedicated Order of Really Meek and Timid Souls. Doormats. And their emblem is a yellow caution light. And their motto is, the meek will inherit the earth, as long as that's okay with you. So it's not something we look up to. What does Jesus mean when he says meek? Well, I'll answer that for you by telling you a little story, okay? Telling you a little story. So once upon a time, I went out to dinner with a friend. And this friend was a priest. And he was a native of Kenya. And he was living in the house with us because he was studying down at Catholic University. And we all called him Father Joseph, because nobody could pronounce his native African name. So he was Father Joseph, right? So Father Joseph and I, one night, we went out to dinner and we went to this Chinese place. And in this little Chinese restaurant, all the tables were booths. And you know how it is with a booth, and the back of your chair is right up against the back of the next guy's chair. So Father Joseph and I, we sit down at a booth. And right next to us in the other booth is seated a family. And in that family is a little boy, 3 years old, maybe 4 years old, okay? And this little boy is so rambunctious that he cannot be contained in a little restaurant booth. So Father Joseph and I, we sit down, we start talking, when suddenly, the little boy climbs up the back side of the booth, reaches over the tops of the chairs, starts swatting Father Joseph with his hands. He's going, ah, ah. And suddenly the parents, they grab him by his bootstrap, pull him back down. Father Joseph straightens himself up, and we try to keep on talking. And wouldn't you know it, a couple of minutes go by. Little boy climbs up the back side of the booth once again, leans over the top of the booth, starts swatting Father Joseph with his arms. And this is when Father Joseph is absolutely amazing. He doesn't complain. He doesn't get upset. He doesn't ask to go be seated somewhere else. You know what he does? Instinctively, he turns to the little boy with a smile on his face from ear to ear, extends out his hand, and in the most delightful Kenyan accent, he says, hello, my little friend. It is so nice to meet you. I hope you are having a good evening, and I hope that we can become friends. And the little boy smiles from ear to ear, and the parents are delighted because they were so embarrassed before. And I'm sitting there on the other side of the table, absolutely amazed, because I have just seen an example of meekness in action. You don't want to know what meekness means? Meekness means that you do not live your life insisting that everything goes your way. Rather, you accept whatever comes and you make of it the very best that you possibly can. That's meekness. Sometimes things go your way, that's great. But when they don't, you make the best out of it. Instead of letting it make the best out of you. It's like that old adage that says, you know, you can't change the direction of the wind, but you can adjust your sails. Meekness means two things. Number one, it means that you instinctively accept what God has allowed to come into your life. And number two, it means that you do not have excessive demands of your own. You're not always clamoring for your own way all the time. Have you ever met anybody in this world who's always clamoring for their own way all the time? Boy, are they frustrated, right? Because how often does everything go your way? Almost never. Boy, are they frustrated. Everything has to be just so. You probably know somebody like that, don't you? Yes, you do. You probably don't have to look very far to find them. In fact, you might not have to look any further than your own reflection in the mirror. Because so many of us live this way, and we demand that everything be just so, and if something's not right, we get all bent out of shape and into a little tizzy if the sitting in a seat where maybe the sun is in our eyes, or the temperature is a little bit too cold, or it's a little bit too warm, or the flight's overbooked, or the bacon's overcooked, or you got a boil on your nose on the night of the dance. Absolutely miserable. You know what meekness means, by contrast? By contrast, it's putting into practice the words from Psalm number 34 that says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Blessed are the meek could just as easily mean, blessed are those who bless the Lord at all times. And then Jesus says, the meek will inherit the earth. What the heck does that mean? Well, would you be surprised to learn that Jesus is just quoting Psalm number 37 when he says that? Psalm 37, it says, the meek will inherit the land. They will enjoy the fullness of peace. And what happens to you in your life when you learn to live and accept and make the best of whatever God sends? You begin to enjoy the fullness of peace. And it's like the whole world opens up before you. Because the meek are survivors. No matter what happens, they're going to be okay. Because they understand the meaning of what St. Paul once said to the Romans, God makes all things work together for the good of those who love him. All things work together for the good of those who love him. And once you begin to live like that, it's like the whole world opens up before you. The meek will inherit the earth. That's how Christ our Lord lived when he said, learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. It's how he died when he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. So there you go. That's only one beatitude. There's seven more. And believe me, I gave you the abbreviated version. I could have gone on for three times that long. And when this gospel comes up again, we'll take another beatitude. But until then, if you want to understand the beatitudes, understand this. The beatitudes are not commandments. They're descriptions. Everybody always thinks the Beatitudes are commandments. It's as if God is saying, just get out there and be more sorrowing. Why don't you get busy, you know, being more meek? Why don't you get busy being more merciful? They're not commandments, these Beatitudes aren't. They're descriptions. They're descriptions of what you're going to look like when you're fully surrendered to God. And here's an insider's tip to understand the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are a description of who Jesus Christ is, especially as he's dying on the cross. Want to understand the Beatitudes? Take each one and look at Jesus dying on the cross. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what is right. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the sorrowful. Because the beginning, middle, and end of everything Jesus taught us can be summarized in this: all blessings come to us through a cross. It's the hardest lesson to learn. Beginning, middle, and end of everything Jesus taught. That's why Jesus told us, take up your cross and follow me. It's not a curse. It's a blessing. He's trying to give us one. And the more we understand that, the more we understand him. And the more we understand him, the better we'll understand these Beatitudes. And the more we'll discover something truly beautiful in this world, an eternal life in the world that is to come. Amen.